Thank you, worship choir. Thank you, trio. Thank you, everyone, for sharing with us. Today, we are in for a treat as we continue on in our series, The Possible Kingdom, as we look through the book of Acts and we follow the post-resurrection miracles that took place after the resurrection of Christ and then all that's taken place in the early church. We will continue on in this series through the end of next month. But for today, we have a special guest. A special guest who can relate very well to what was happening in the book of Acts. One of our missionaries who has not been with us for quite a while, well over a year now because of being out of the country, is with us today to share. And so we're happy to have Greg Johnson. I will tell you that we're not going to be live streaming at this point now. We've got to be able to keep a little more secure what's said and what's shared. So you won't be able to go back and watch this later. So pay attention now is what I'm telling you, as everyone will know. But Greg is going to come and share a little bit, and I want to set the stage a little from our message series even. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, there is an incredible challenge that the Lord gives us, that we're to make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And then they rock along in that time frame, and many people are coming to know Christ in the Jerusalem area and a little bit of the surrounding area, not a very greatly large area at that point. And then you get to Acts chapter 7, and Stephen is martyred for his faith. And in the beginning of Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we see where when this took place, and it tells us that Saul was watching what was happening before he came to Christ. The scripture tells us that it was at that moment that all of the believers were scattered around all of the surrounding nations. They all left Jerusalem except for the apostles. Everyone else was scattered. So God called them to go and make disciples of the world and then used a horrible situation as a catalyst to send them around to do so. Well, we're blessed through our Advanced 2020 partnership to have missionary partners all over the world. But one of my all-time favorite partners, by all means, are Greg and Zoya Johnson and their family. Greg serves in Central Asia, and his wife is still there, but he's home for just a couple of weeks. And he's going to come now and share with us a little bit of what is happening there, give us an update, some stories, some information, how we can be a part of that. Greg has been under the weather the last few days, so we're going to pray for him as he begins. Let's pray. Father God, I do pray that you would help Greg as he shares. Lord, that you will speak through him to us. Father, that you will give him the strength to be able to get through all that he needs to share, that his voice will hold out as well. Father, my prayer is that we would all be challenged by the work of what's happening, how Muslims are coming to know you in Central Asia. And Father, that we could be reminded that that is an impossibility apart from your Holy Spirit at work. So Father, thank you that you do the glorious impossible. And we're going to hear about that today. We pray you would speak through Greg now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's welcome Greg. We're always excited to have you.
It's a blessing to be back with you. I enjoyed that song service. Brother, I forgot your name.
Don.
I tell you, that motivated corpse. That didn't work you up. I think you're, what is it they said? If that didn't ring your bell, your clapper's broken. Matthew chapter 28 says in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That was not a polite request. It was also not a suggestion. It was a command. We call it the Great Commission. I call it the Great Command. It's not negotiable. You have a choice, but the choice is between obedience or disobedience. You see, if you've accepted God's offer of eternal life, if you've said, yes, Lord, thank you, I think I will go to heaven. I really appreciate what you've done for me. I'm glad my sins are forgiven. I was going to hell, now I'm going to heaven. I was lost in sin, dead in trespasses and sins. Now I'm alive in Christ. My eternity is settled. I'm going to inherit with Christ in heaven. How's it said? Priests and kings. That's how the Bible describes us. From beggars to priests and kings. And you didn't do a thing. It was given to you. It's a free gift. The only thing that happened in your life was the Holy Spirit revealed it to you. so that you could believe it and have peace in your heart and rejoice, knowing that you're going to heaven. God said, okay, I've given you eternal life. Your eternity is settled. Now, you've got 40 years, 20 years, 30 years, 5 years, 50 years left before you get to where you're going. I need that. I need it. You say, God doesn't need. I mean, God is God. How could he need me? Well, first off, God does not have hands and feet in this earth except ours. We are his hands and feet. I have trouble behind a pulpit, by the way. In Central Asia, we sit on the floor. So if I'm sitting on the floor, that just, it's automatic. But we are the hands and feet of God in the earth. I believe, and it's controversial, I know, some people, a lot of people disagree with me. Some people even call it heretical. But I believe that God can't make you do anything. Now think about that for a second. He can't make you trust Christ. He can't make you accept the offer of eternal life. He can offer it. He can beg. He can plead. By the way, did you know he begs? If I was him, I wouldn't beg. But he begs. For me to understand that, I had to have children. Which of us would not get down and beg one of our children to do the right thing? Which of us would not get down and beg one of our children to make the right decision for something that mattered? God begs us. I beseech you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God begs lost people to accept his offer of eternal life. Why? Because he knows what's coming. Not only that, but once they do accept his offer of eternal life, he begs his children to present their bodies back to him. The Bible says, ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God said, they're mine. I gave you eternity in heaven. But when I did, I bought that body and that life you've got. It's mine. I need it. But you have to choose to present it back to me. You have to choose to obey. This is the commandment. It's not negotiable. The Bible says we're in a war. How convenient it is to forget that. But we are in a war. On every side of us, our enemy is running roughshod over people's lives. Our enemy is running roughshod in our society. Our enemy is running roughshod sometimes even over us because we don't want to remember that we're in a war. Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not against people, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and high place. We're fighting against the prince and power of the air. He said the weapons of our warfare let me read it. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. I'm going to read it to make sure I get it right, or I'll start quoting it in Russian. Brother Chris told me that y'all absolutely must be out of here by 12:30. I'm just kidding. I set out to read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, or verse 3 says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I keep telling our guys over there all the time, we're in a Muslim part of the world. Excuse me, there's a lot of fanatics there. And I keep telling them, listen, we ain't against anybody. We're not going to argue with anybody. Folks, listen, that guy that comes up to you and he's yelling and he's screaming and he's foaming at the mouth and he's got the long beard and he's got the hat that tells you he's a devotee or a fundamentalist, Muslim fundamentalist. I said, he's not the enemy. For all we know, that might be the next Apostle Paul. Isn't that what he did? Didn't he go around killing Christians? We're not against anybody. We're against the spirit that's behind that deception. And the Bible says in the next verse, might as well just take my Bible with me. The Bible says in the next verse, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you realize that we have something? That if a person wants to know the truth, The Word of God always wins the battle. We always win. All we need, and all the Holy Spirit is looking for, is people who make that decision. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. I tell people, our evangelists over there, I say, listen, all we're looking for is the ones the Holy Spirit's bringing. We go into every village, every town, every city. We know there's people there who are looking for the truth. Our job is to take the gospel as close as possible to them so the Holy Spirit can bring them to us and they can hear the gospel and understand the gospel and believe the gospel. We can't lose. Excuse me. In Central Asia, we have, of course, I don't know if you're familiar, but probably a lot of new people or new faces, you may not know where I'm talking about, but from the southern border of Russia to the northern border of Iran, from the western border of China to the Black Sea is what we call Central Asia. It's roughly 65 to 70 million people, over 150 spoken languages, predominantly Islamic, predominantly Muslim. I'll give you an example. My wife is Kazakh from the country of Kazakhstan. In 1992, when I first went to Kazakhstan, it was 42% Muslim. Today, it's approaching 80% Muslim. That's in 27 years. Central Asia as a whole was a little over 70% Muslim 27 years ago. Today, it's approaching 90%. Our burden is very simple. My desire is to invade every region of Central Asia with the gospel. My goal, personal goal, if the Lord gives me time and strength, my personal goal, I want to see before I die or before the Lord comes back, I want to see a church established in every significant town in Central Asia. You say that's not possible. I might have agreed with you 27 years ago, but I don't agree with you anymore. It's possible. Right now, we are preaching or evangelizing in over 30 different locations. We have church plants in 18 different towns and cities. 4 years ago, we had 7 church plants. Today, we have 18. In Kyrgyzstan, right now, there's only one city remaining. In the whole country of Kyrgyzstan, there's only one significant town or city remaining that doesn't have at least a Bible study in it. We prayed for Uzbekistan for the last 9 years. No hope humanly that it would open. Last year, it opened to the gospel. Folks, listen. The Lord wants those people to hear the gospel. Jesus died for them. I believe the Lord's heart, if we could possible to say this, I believe the Lord's heart or Jesus' heart is broken by people who won't obey, won't go, won't preach the gospel. I believe that in every generation, the Lord calls enough people to reach the world. They just won't go. Now, our ministry is spread out over a big area. Our easternmost church plant is in Gazilorda, Kazakhstan. Our easternmost is in Karakol, Kyrgyzstan. That's over 1,000 miles east to west. It's a big area. We have, as I said, 18 church plants and 12 Bible studies aside from those 18, and we have 16 evangelists. It doesn't add up. We can't sit down and work out a plan where all those points get covered. They just get covered somehow. Last year, we decided to help remedy the problem. We started an evangelist school. And right now, we have 5 men that have gone through it that I believe will be candidates for ordination this year. But as soon as they're ordained, they're not going to meet the need. They're just going to add to it because we're just going to send them further out. Our desire is to advance, 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 push, push, push. The Lord said, go, I'm with you. What that means to me is nothing can happen to you without me allowing it to and it being a part of my will, which means it'll be a part of the furtherance of the gospel. And you cannot run out of what you need to operate as long as you're doing it for me. So why not advance? Why not invade the enemy's territory? By the way, let me say this. If you have been born again, you are a missionary. You have been commissioned as a missionary. You've been given a challenge, a task to do. There are people all around you that are your mission field. Every one of you has a mission field. The devil wants you to not be aware of that. He wants you to forget about that. He wants you to be distracted. He wants you to think about anything else except the need of the people around you. Albertville, Alabama has churches everywhere, and yet there are people everywhere that need a missionary. Maybe they've heard the gospel, or maybe they've even, read the Bible. That doesn't mean that their need is met. They need a missionary. You know what a missionary is? A missionary is someone. By the way, Jesus was the missionary. He's someone who sees the need, and the Lord gives him a burden and a love and a care and compassion. And he says, okay, whatever it takes, I'm going to fight that battle. All around you right here in Albertville, Alabama, are battlefields. Needs, spiritual needs. The devil wants you to think. He wants you to think that this is a Christian area. He wants you to think that this is, that the needs are being met. He wants you to think that it's your responsibility to take the blessings of God, take salvation, take the blessings of this wonderful country that you live in, and take this freedom that you have and coast all the way to heaven. That's Satan's deception. The Lord's will is for you to have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Who, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. He wants you to look around and find somebody that needs help and do whatever it takes to help people. Bible says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. Now, how much rights does a servant have? It's someone who surrenders their rights. See, all the time, we're always talking about, well, I have a right to a good life. I'm an American. That's true. That's true. The Lord said, I want you to put that on the altar. I want you to be willing to put that on the altar. You say, well, I have a right to comfort. I have a right to my pleasures. I have a right to my distractions. Okay. Maybe you do as an American born in this country. But the Lord says, I want you to be willing to set that aside for others. See, Jesus he was God. He set it aside. And he became a servant of no reputation. The Bible says, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. And being made in the likeness of men, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What this world needs is soldiers. People like Paul told Timothy, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Folks, this is a war. We need to be aware of it. There's a war on for your children's minds. There's a war on for your grandchildren's minds. You say, well, I fought all my life and now I'm just retired and I just want to coast. I just want to relax. I'm sorry. You can't. Those grandkids need someone to pray over them every day. Those grandkids need someone to teach them. Those kids, all around us are souls of people that the devil wants to deceive. Now, in Central Asia, I'm going to quickly tell a few stories. In Central Asia, we all the time, I see a lot of victories won. And, I tell people all the time, people say, well, I couldn't go to Central Asia. And I say, well, that's good. Apparently the Lord didn't call you there. Because if he called you there, you'd go. Or you'd have a desire to go that overwhelmed your doubt and fear about going. But the Lord has called you somewhere. It may be here in Albertville. It may be here in this church. But the Lord has given you a ministry. But people always tell me, you know, how did you end up in Central Asia? I tell them, well, I guess the Lord said, I need somebody that's not too bright and will just do what I tell him without asking. That's the only thing I can think of. Kind of like Gladys Allward. Y'all know the missionary to China, Gladys Allward? She said, surely somewhere there was a man that God called that was really qualified for this job. She was a missionary in China. She said, he must have refused to go. And the Lord said, well, who have I got? And someone said, well, there's Gladys. She ain't much, but she's willing. By the way, she did a great ministry in China. And I always tell people, the only qualification I have for the ministry is I refuse to quit. I refuse to stop. My mom taught me, she said, just don't quit. Isn't that exactly what the Bible tells us? Having done all, stand. And then advance. Attack, attack, attack. We have the we have what the world needs. It's the message of Christ. It's the gospel. The Bible, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The message of who Jesus is and what he's done. And we have to tell it to people over and over and over again. We have to explain it to them. We have to illustrate it. We have to make it understandable to a way that they can relate to it. But that message is alive and powerful. And it will break the heart, or the Holy Spirit will use it to break the heart, the hardest heart. Y'all have my, put up that first picture if you would. I brought it. I'll give it back in a minute. I wish I had time to tell a story, Brother EQ, or I don't. But the lady in the middle is named, excuse me, Tamara. On the left is her son. I think I was better off without the water. On the left is her son, and his name is Tungo. He's now one of our evangelists. Tamara was a good communist. She served the Communist Party loyally for many years of her life. In 1992, the Communist Party collapsed. Kazakhstan became independent. She began to look around at creation and nature and all that. And she said, you know, maybe I've been wrong. Maybe there is a God. I think there is one. There must be. So she started reading the Quran. She's a Kazakh like my wife, Zoya, actually from the same small clan as my wife. She started reading the Quran and she became a good Muslim. She said, I've got to make up for lost time. I'm entering into this late in my life. I want to see if I can get into heaven. So she started doing good works. She's a very, very energetic, very strong woman, very wise woman. She started feeding homeless and hungry people in their town, helping elderly people that had no pension or no one to take care of them. Another thing she started doing was she started taking in kids off the street. And one of the things she would do with those kids is she'd have them read the Quran for an hour a day. Every evening at 7 o'clock, the kids read the Quran for an hour, and on Saturdays they read it during the daytime for an hour. Her daughter became a Christian. Her daughter begged her mother to read the Bible. She said, Mom, you're wrong. You need to read the New Testament. Just read it one time. She refused. She said, that's not the religion of our people, and I forbid you to be a Christian. Her daughter continued secretly, and one day coming home from work, her daughter was killed in a car accident. Her daughter was 19 at the time. Tungo there, he told me, he said, it nearly killed my mom. He said, because she loved her, of course she loved her daughter very much, but said to know that her daughter died while her mother was angry at her. A few months after the girl died, Brother Tungo on the left was in a store and he bumped into Brother Iktior on the right. Brother Iktior was an evangelist. He was planting a church in that town of Asyk. By the way, I tried to bring Brother Iktior on this trip with me and the embassy denied him a visa, but I wish y'all could meet him. Anyway, he met Tungo and he went and invited Tungo to his house. Tungo came and they drank tea and he told him the gospel. He said, Tungo sat there like a statue, made no outward emotional sign whatsoever. But at the end of it, Tungo said, I want you to come home and tell my mother this. Come to my home. Iktior said the next day they went to Tamara's house and she served tea. And he said about 5 o'clock in the evening. And he said, after she served tea, she said, okay, my son said you came here to tell me something. Talk. So he started talking. He said she sat there like a statue, made no expression whatsoever. He said, I talked for an hour and then 2 hours. He said, I was going through the gospel over and over again, illustrating it. He said, she showed no emotion at all until about 10 o'clock that night, 11 o'clock that night. He said, my wife noticed tears coming down her face. They talked till dawn. He said, about 5 o'clock in the morning, she started smiling. And she said, I see now. She trusted Christ as her Savior. She immediately, the next Monday, she got the kids together and she said, bring me the Qurans. They brought the Quran and she packed them all away and she gave them Bibles. She said, you're going to read these now for an hour a day. About 6 months after that, 5.5 months after that, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer, stomach cancer. She suffered tremendously. Because of her reputation in the community, many people came to her. She, by the way, they had to lay her in the living room right there, actually right there standing in front of where she died. But many people came through that room, and she had such a reputation that even city officials came to see her and tell her that they hated to see her sick and all that. But she told them, she insisted that either she or her son tell them the gospel. And of course, there is this tradition, they would make a show of crying, and she would say, hey, don't weep for me. Cry for yourself. She said, I'm going to sit at the throne of God with Jesus. She said, but you won't listen to what my son just told you, so you're not going to go. Cry for yourself. Ikhtior said, it's amazing the impact she had in her death. He said, hundreds of people were challenged. She left those kids behind. I couldn't go to her in the last week of her life. I sent word to her. I said, tell her she can die not worrying about the kids. I said, we'll take care. We'll make sure they're fed and taken care of to the best of our ability. She sent back word. She said, I wasn't worried at all. She said, the Bible says God is a father to the fatherless. So anyway, she died on a Friday morning. The next day I had a Bible class. Not a Bible class. I had an evangelistic service with 40 people coming in. And there was no one to preach it but me. And I told Ikhtior, I said, can they bury her Sunday? I'll be there. It's about an 8 hour or 7.5 hour trip up to where she's at. And he said, no. He said, the Muslim family controls everything. They're burying her tomorrow. I said, I can't be there tomorrow. I said, bring Tungo to the phone. Tungo came to the phone. I said, brother, I said, I want to be there, but I can't. I said, I got people coming in that need to hear the gospel tomorrow. He said, he laughed and he said, you didn't know my mother very well. He said, she would tell you, don't worry about my worthless body. Preach Christ. He said, she died loving Jesus. Now, friends, that's the power of the gospel. See, I can't, you and I, she wasn't won by some clever method or some special tactic or anything. It was the message of Christ. She was looking for the truth. She was looking for peace. By the way, when I went to see her before she, a few months before she died, she pulled out this notebook and she said, look at this. We found it after my daughter died. And it was a bunch of poems that she had written to Jesus. Her daughter had written poems to Jesus, thanking him for dying for her, thanking him for shedding his blood. She said, we wouldn't listen. But she prayed and she asked the Lord to win her mama to make her mama listen to the gospel. She said, and the Lord did the only thing that worked. He took her. She said, the reason I listened to Brother Ikhtior when he came was because of my daughter's death. She said, I thought I owed it to my daughter to listen to the gospel. She said, and as I listened to the gospel, she said, my heart just squeezed inside my chest. So my point is this, folks. There's people like this all over the world. Before we go to the next one, I want to show you some of the kids quickly, and we're going to wrap up here in just a minute. But go to the next one if you would, brother. These are the kids that are in the children's home. If you read something in the newsletter about the children's home, this is what we have right now. We have 8 children, ranging in ages from 18 down to four, I think. The youngest one is four. Go to the next one. By the way, these kids are a blessing. I mean, you talk about a blessing. My kids went up there and spent the day with them. And
тогда сказал Иисус к уверовавшим в Него и иудеям, если пребудете в Слове Моем, то вы истинно Мои ученики,
и вы знаете истинно, и истинно сделаете вас свободными. В Евангелии написано,
если мы будем пребывать в Слове Господне,
Jesus is telling us that if we continue in His Word, we'll be saved, we'll know the truth and be saved.
Написано в 32 стихе, познайте
You'll learn the truth, and truth will make you free. The truth is Jesus Christ. He shed His blood on the cross. That's how we're saved. He set us free from sin. That's why we're sure that we're going to heaven.
Amen.
Now, this is the, I don't know, I get a blessing being around these kids. But this is the fruit of one woman. One person who decided to make a difference. That boy in the blue and the boy in the green and then the blonde-headed boy, who's not in this, I don't think. They all told me that they want to study the Bible or they want to study in the evangelist school when they grow up. There's potentially three or four good evangelists here. Missionaries, go to the next one if you would. I asked them to find me their favorite verse. This was about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. I asked them to find me their favorite verse.
I asked
verse.
Him what his favorite chapter or passage of scripture was, and they started thinking, and now they're looking.
Brother, we're not going to play this one, so just go to the next if you want. That video is about 4 minutes long. I don't want to play it right now, but pray for them. I won't tell the whole story about how we were able to keep them. Brother Chris said you shouldn't tell that story. But basically, the Lord made it possible for us to keep these kids. But if the government finds out we're teaching them the Bible, they'll be taken. So we're caught between, on the one hand, we have to teach them the Bible. On the other hand, we can't let anyone know we're teaching them the Bible. So pray for that. If the government doesn't find out, it will be the hand of God. Because it's a small community in a small town. So pray for this children's home. Pray for these kids. And pray for Brother Tungo and his wife Oksana as they take care of them. And all the Christians there have pulled together and really tried to help them with that. This is Maria on the left. I want to tell her story real quick. Maria is 82 years old. We sent evangelists to Kazil Arda, which is that farthest westernmost church plant out in the middle of nowhere. We sent four evangelists there for a week. They held classes for 6 days, start at about 10, 11 in the morning, go till 10 o'clock at night. And they do that so that people that work can come in the evening, people that don't work can come in the daytime. And they just teach on a rotation. They'll teach an hour and a half at a time, four men teaching all day long over and over again and answering questions. The lady on the right has come for a while. She brought the lady on the left, Maria. Maria sat there and listened all day the first day. And in the evening, she suddenly spoke up. And I'm not going to play the video clip, but I'll show you in just a minute. But she said, now this is in the evening. She's been sitting there all day listening to the gospel. Over and up. I told our guys, I said, you know what you do? I said, you tell the same thing over and over and over and over. Just keep talking, telling the message of Christ, the story of Christ, who Jesus is, what He's done for us. I said, just keep hammering that. Paul said, I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He said, I determined when I was among you not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Folks, people need to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what gets the job done. Well, by that evening, she spoke up and she said, I see God telling me, Maria, I killed my son for you. He shed his blood and paid for your sins. Why don't you believe it? And she said, just now, I just saw it. Or they use a word that means my eyes were just opened. She got excited. She's born again that night. For the rest of the week, every day she was there. She insisted on helping to fix food. By the way, she walked an hour to the meeting, an hour there and an hour back. Oh, and also she had cancer. She only has one lung and she has no ribs on her right side. The evangelist offered her money for a bus. She said, "Give it to the young people." She said, "I don't need it." He said, "I need to walk or I'll die." I was telling our brother Oleg, he's the one on the right, the big guy. He came after this week, he came down to northern Kyrgyzstan to help me with a series of meetings. All the time he was there, his phone was going off. And I said, "Oleg, is your wife really that missing you that much?" He said, "That ain't my wife." He said, "That's Maria." He said, "She won't leave me alone." He said, "Constant question, question, question. What does this verse mean? What does that verse mean?" He said, "Then last night she finally demanded." She didn't ask. She demanded that we come back immediately and teach them. Folks, again, only the Holy Spirit can do that. Maria said, "I lived 80 years of my life in honest sinning." She said, "I never hid it." She said, "I sinned openly." She said, "And I thought to myself, it's too late for me to make up with God." She said, "But when I was sitting there listening to him talk about," she said, "these two guys," she said, "when they were talking about what Jesus did," she said, "I understood that God loved me anyway and that heaven was open to me because of what Jesus had done and that God actually wanted me to go. He didn't care that I spent 80 years ignoring him." Folks, there's people everywhere around the world that need someone to get in their way with the message of Christ. Last story is Brother Victor. A few weeks ago, I went to see Brother Victor. His wife has been a believer in one of our groups. And she said, "I want you to come talk to my husband." She said, "But I got to wait until he'll agree to it. He won't agree to it." I said, "All right, let me know." Well, finally, one day she came. She said, "He agreed for you to come. When can you come?" I said, "I can come tomorrow." So we went and we sat down and started drinking tea, and Victor had 3 pages of notes. He said, "These are contradictions I found in your Bible." He said, "Let me start with this first one. Right here it said," and I said, "Excuse me, Victor." I said, "Excuse me just a minute." I said, "Listen, can I show you something?" He said, "Yeah, sure, go ahead." I said, "We're going to let this represent God. We're going to let this represent you. We're going to let this represent Jesus." Now, those of you that know me, you know anytime I can, I go to the illustration. I said, "We're going to let this represent sin." I said, The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The Bible says, "The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." And I go through the whole illustration with him. When he got done, when I finished, I went to another passage, into another passage for over an hour. He sat back in the couch and he said, "My head's spinning." I said, "Well, I got to go." He said, "I'm going to walk you to the bus stop." I said, "No, you stay." He's 82 years old. Or almost, I think he just before being 82 years old. I said, "No, you stay here. I'll walk." He said, "No, I'm walking with you." So he came down 4 flights of stairs and we walked up a block or two to the bus stop. And while I was waiting on the bus, he's standing there and I could tell something was bothering him. And he said, "Something tells me that what you told me is true." He said, "I'm going to think about it." About 10 days went by. 2 weeks ago today, his wife was back in the meeting and she came up to me and she said, "When can you come see Victor again?" I said, "Tomorrow." She said, "He told me this morning," she said, "he told me that a spirit has been in his heart telling him that he needs to believe everything you told him." I kind of lost it. See, what I see is, I see the Lord offering Victor heaven, and Victor can almost see it. You can almost see it. The Bible says he is near unto every one of us if haply we should feel after him. The Lord says, I'm right here. I want you to come and fellowship with me. See, when Jesus died, God didn't open the gates of heaven. He took them off the hinges. There's no more gates. God said, whosoever will may come. God said, I dropped the charges against everybody. I had to beat my son to death to do it, but I dropped all the charges. And I love you. And heaven's yours. I want you to come. And the Holy Spirit pleads, and the Holy Spirit witnesses, and the Holy Spirit shows, and the Holy Spirit reminds. The Holy Spirit does everything he can to convince people to just take God at his word and go to heaven because of Jesus. Folks, but he needs us. He needs missionaries. Yes, we're in Central Asia, and yes, it is a stronghold of Satan on a large scale. Doesn't bother me. I don't care. I don't care if they call themselves Muslims or if they call themselves atheists or if they call themselves Buddhist or whatever. They're just people in need of Christ. And they're people that have the same conscience and heart inside of them that I do. And they're people that if they want to know the truth, the Holy Ghost is going to reveal it to them. We don't have to worry about the obstacles. People say all the time, well, Muslims hate Christians. Doesn't matter. We are absolutely bulletproof until the Lord's done with us. We can walk up to the most angry opponent of the gospel, and we can, with confidence, tell them the gospel. We don't have to worry. We can't lose. You understand, the Lord controls. Once we surrender our lives to him, the Lord says, you are under my protection. Now I will place you where I need you. I just need you to be faithful to do what I called you to do. So my point is this. All around you here in Albertville are small strongholds of Satan that are just as dangerous and just as in need of people with a vision and with a burden to care and to invade those strongholds and to push the devil back. So I encourage you, pray for us. Brother Chris said it this morning. I always tell people, pray for boldness. The Bible says boldness, that we might speak the word as we should. Wisdom. I am in way over my head. But the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, I always raise my hand right there. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally. You know what that means? He doesn't give you a pinch. He gives you a handful. So what I take that to mean is, when I ask him for wisdom, he gives it. And we can advance and we can keep going, even if we don't know what tomorrow holds and we don't know what to do. Just keep pushing. Just keep telling people about Jesus, and a victory will be won. So pray for us for wisdom. By the way, if we have wisdom, we will continuously be studying the person of Christ. Hebrews 12:3 says, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We stop studying Jesus, we're going to get tired and quit. He's the example. We're supposed to have his mind. So please pray for us. Pray for my wife and children, of course, and pray for all the ministries there in those countries. You say, I don't know how to pray for all that. Okay, then pray for Central Asia. And say, Lord, open those countries to the gospel. Give those missionaries wisdom. Give them boldness. But also, don't think that your ministry ends in sending us. That's just one part of your ministry. The other part of your ministry is doing the same work here in Albertville, Alabama. I say it again, all around you. All around you are people that need you. And they need you to take a stand for Christ. Thank you, and I'll turn it over to Brother Chris. Oh, may I say one quick thing? Osh, one of our most strategic, and I don't like to use the word important because they're all important, but one of the most important church plants is in Osh. Osh is the most Islamic city in Central Asia, second largest city in Kyrgyzstan. It's where most of the terrorists and fanatics that blow things up in Central Asia come from. We planted a church there we started a church plant there a little over 3 years ago. This church has supported that church plant for almost 3 years, if I remember correctly. I was sharing with Brother Chris, I'm a little bit frustrated. I wanted it to be a church by now. I've told the Lord, if you'll let me go there and fix it, I'm sure I could fix it. But apparently the Lord knows better. But what we're seeing right now is they've been attacked, they've been divided, they've lost some people, they're holding their own. Please pray for that church plant. The most encouraging sign is that of those five men that we'll be ordaining this year, two of them are from Osh. First time. And those men look ready to provide leadership to that congregation. Rather than us having to send leadership from 36 hours away that comes in for 3 or 4 days and then has to leave again. So pray for the Osh church plant and pray that we will soon see it truly become an autonomous, standalone congregation that does not need assistance. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. The invitation is going to be handled this way, a little different than normal. We've already had a prayer time earlier today. We're going to do this. First of all, the gospel has been clearly presented multiple times in discussing the gospel. And so if you'd like to give your life to Jesus, you want to receive his gift of salvation, when we dismiss in a moment, I'm going to be standing right here. And I invite you to come and see me. I'd love to share with you, to pray with you. So I will be right here. Secondly, though, we're going to do this. I'm going to ask some of our men, our deacons, to stand at the doors with offering plate. I think we're going to be prepared to do that in just a moment. We're going to receive a second offering today for the Central Asia Project, for the ministries happening there. I'm going to be very realistic. You may say, I didn't come prepared for that. I didn't know about that. Well, then would you take an envelope in front of you and write your name on it in Central Asia and what you intend to give this week later? That'll be fine. If you want to make a check out to help the ministry there, make it out to First Baptist Church and put it in the envelope that puts Central Asia. Well, you don't have to do that. You can just make a check out to First Baptist. Anything in this second offering, it's all going for the ministry there. Here's the reality, and this is why I wanted to have him share today. I wanted to give us an increased opportunity to be a part. I think normally before God opened the doors in Kyrgyzstan, which they have opened recently, before the orphanage became your responsibility, he didn't go and elaborate on that. But the reality of that story is that the lady who died, who was taking care of those children, her brother had given her cows to milk cows, and she was using that to make cheese and yogurt to sell to provide for the children. As soon as she died, the Muslim brother took all that back. And so they have no provision for them. So they're covering that. That's added money. The extra church plants, it's gone from probably monthly around $6,000 of budget to almost double that. And God's providing it. However, it's become tough and difficult. So here's what I would like to ask us to do. We are blessed people. And so I want to encourage you to be faithful to give. Maybe you want to support that orphanage that's sharing the gospel. You want to support them for a month. About what does it take to feed the children for a month?
We did the accounts, and it comes to right at $900 a month.
$900 American a month to take care of all those children. So maybe someone might say, I'll take care of 1 month of that. We'd encourage you to write a check for that. Others, you want to help support a church plant. You're already helping to do that, but you want to do it in a bigger way. My goal would be that we could help support a month's worth of their ministry today. You say, well, that's a big thing to do. God can do it. We're blessed beyond measure. I encourage you to be faithful. If you're not prepared to give today, but you know in your heart you want to give, just write it down in an envelope, put your name, and list it there. Let me pray for us. I'm going to ask our men to go to the doors, and we're going to dismiss. The invitation is to give as you leave and to come see me if you have another decision. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for the privilege to come and to be a part of ministry here. But Lord, to also be a part of ministry around the world. Thank you for Greg and Zoya. Thank you for all of the other families that are serving there. and making a difference, putting their lives on the line for the gospel's sake. Father, thank you for that. Lord, thank you that we get to be a part of that. May we be faithful to give so that we can help be a partner for the kingdom's sake around the world. May we be faithful to pray if we don't have any finances to give. We can pray for boldness. We can pray for the things that he mentioned. And Father, I pray that you would call some of us to go and to spend a week there praying, serving in different ways. Lord, that you would have your way among us today. Thank you for the Johnsons. Thank you that we get to be a part of that. If there's anyone else here that has a decision to make today, that they would come and see me immediately following the service. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.